live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thanksgiving Eve. Yes, we are just less than a day away now from one of my favorite holidays out there. It's a really close second to Christmas, but Thanksgiving is right there, folks, right there. I mean, can it get any better than Thanksgiving, though, other than Christmas? Because on Thanksgiving, you get to stuff your face. I'm going to gain at least 10 pounds after tomorrow, I must say. I'm going to absolutely be in heaven, okay? There's nothing like food on Thanksgiving Day. Turkey and the dressing and the collard greens and the cranberry sauce, the pies. Oh, my, oh, my. It's going to be a fun day. But before we, you know, usher you guys into Thanksgiving, we, of course, will have our final live current sports radio show of the week right here on this Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. We've got a ton to discuss, seeing as though this is pretty much like our Friday, right? And a lot of sports take place in the next few days leading into the Thanksgiving weekend. We'll talk about the latest rankings when it comes to the college football playoff. Not much movement when it comes to the top-tier teams, at least. The latest rankings revealed on ESPN last night. Also, your Detroit Lions, the Honolulu Blue, will play as they traditionally do on Thanksgiving Day, playing host to the NFC North leading Minnesota Vikings. That's the team that the Lions are chasing right now. Will the Lions be able to pull off the dub? Well, if you've been tuning into current sports throughout the last 2 days here, you know what my prediction is on the game. But we'll dive more into why I believe the Lions are going to win or lose this matchup. So don't miss that. We're also going to do, like we usually do on the eve of Thanksgiving here on Current Sports, we have a segment entitled What We Are Thankful For. Very original, that really needs no explanation. As my engineer Isaac Constance and myself, we will talk about what we are the most thankful for when it comes to the sporting season and beyond. All right? So we'll close out the show with that. But sandwiched in the middle of all of this talk and chatter, we will invite Michael Lynn III live here to Studio West. Michael Lynn III is now the former quarterback at Lansing Catholic High School. He has decided to transfer back to his original school back at Lansing Sexton. Now, if you guys remember, Michael Lynn made headlines here locally due to his decision, along with three of his fellow teammates at the time, to kneel during the national anthem. The first time locally that we saw really a story that's been dominating headlines at the NFL level, multiple players deciding to take a kneel during the national anthem due to Colin Kaepernick, former quarterback of the National Football League. This is the first time we've seen a story, well, that story, I should say, have a trickle-down effect to right here in mid-Michigan. So we'll talk to Mike about the transfer and what exactly transpired at Lansing Catholic High School when he decided to make that decision to kneel during the national anthem. So that and so much more, multiple ways in which you can join us here on today's Current Sports, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running. You can comment below the video And you can also join us via Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. Isaac, you just put on your jacket, man. You're a little cold back there behind the glass.
It is. It's that time of year, Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for the warmth inside, but also thankful for this jacket because it's even warmer there.
Yeah, well, I get, you would be thankful if we had the heat on in here, right? It's always cold in the studio, isn't it? I just saw
always.
Isaac just
no
putting
exception.
On his jacket behind the glass just now. Yeah, it's a bit chilly. Let's just say that. All right. Well, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. You know what, Isaac? I want to kill the music just for a moment here as we provide an update on a really disturbing story that has ties here locally to Michigan State University. If you have not heard, former Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar, he pled guilty to 7 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct in Ingham County Court this morning. It's likely that he will spend the rest of his life in prison. Over 115 women have come forward with allegations that Nassar sexually assaulted them, the earliest dating back to the late 1990s. Nassar also awaits sentencing in federal court after he accepted a plea deal for child pornography charges back in July. He will be sentenced on January 12th. The hearing will last all day and possibly continue on January 19th. If need be, he is facing a minimum of 25 to 40 years in prison, but could land a maximum sentence of life behind bars if determined by the court. Victims of Nassar's misconduct will be allowed to speak before his sentencing. And I saw yesterday that Gabby Douglas, acclaimed USA gymnast, came out and also said that Larry Nassar had sexually assaulted her. We saw Allie Raisman come out, who's also a member of that Fierce Five, along with Gabby Douglas. She came out this past weekend. Nassar worked for Michigan State for nearly 20 years. When he was fired last September, he left USA Gymnastics after 29 years in August of 2015. I saw that Larry Nassar, he pled guilty and apologized and said that he is deeply sorry. And reading the story and reading that update just really upset me. It really did, because it just blows my mind how something like this can happen for so long. And so many can go silent in those happenings. And I'm sure that looking at the stretch of time that Larry Nassar was a team doctor here at Michigan State, I'm sure somebody heard or suspected something. And the fact that those individuals did not come forth and say something, there's a huge problem with that. But, you know, this reminds me so much of the Me Too campaign. You know, that this Larry Nassar story started with one young woman coming out and saying that something was wrong. And then when that went viral, you had another young woman saying the same. And then it led to another young woman saying, me too. And now we look at this case and over 115 women have come forward with allegations, each one drawing strength and courage from one another to speak up about their horrific experience with this sick man. But no longer can we as a society stay silent. And that's why I love what is happening right now when it comes to the Me Too campaign. Of course, you don't love the situation. You love that people are finding courage, countless women out there are finding courage to speak up about how what they've gone through, how that's affected them in many areas of their life. And hopefully this awakens our population here in this country. It makes us wake up and realize that we need to do better when it comes to raising our young men. When it comes to raising our young men to respect women. It's got to start at an early age, folks. But thoughts and prayers out to the victims of Larry Nassar. And this is a guy who will be locked up again, probably for the rest of his life. Lock him up and throw away the key. But this is a story that we will continue to see dominate headlines for quite some time. All right, moving on to now less important matters. Isaac, crank the music back up. Let's talk MSU women's basketball. Career highs in scoring from junior forward Jenna Allen and sophomore Madrika Cook helped the Michigan State women's basketball team improve to 4-0 last night to the tune of a 97-60 win over the University of Detroit Mercy. Cook and fifth-year senior Brandi Agee each scored 17 points, and Allen added 16. The Titans took an 11-6 lead over Michigan State in the first quarter, but a 15-0 run for the Spartans gave them a 20-11 lead, and they never looked back. How about Susie Merchant, Spartans, huh? MSU will remain on the road throughout the holiday. They'll travel to Oregon to participate in the PK80 and play number one UConn on Saturday. Tip time set for 3 p.m. there. Also participating in the Field Night 80 tournament is the MSU men's basketball team. Fresh off a 93-71 win against Stony Brook on Sunday, the Spartans arrived in Portland last night and will play DePaul in the preliminary round of the PK80. The Blue Demons, fresh off an 82-73 loss to Illinois last Friday, are 1-2 on the season, while MSU is 2-1. Get your naps in ahead of time after you scarf down all of that good Thanksgiving food, because tip-off for the game is on Turkey Day at 11:30 p.m. After going 3-9 a year ago, the Michigan State football team will have a chance to come full circle on Saturday and completely flip that script. 9-3 is the possibility for Mark D'Antonio and his Spartans this year if they beat Rutgers on the road this Saturday. Quarterback Brian Lewerke and company will look to reestablish an air attack after completing just 2 of 14 passes against Maryland last week for 20 yards. But the weather was a factor, a really big factor, I must say. And it looks like the forecast for this weekend for the Spartans and the Scarlet Knights says 55 and mostly sunny. There you go. Kickoff, 4 p.m. After a sweep of Ferris State last weekend, the Michigan State hockey team returns to Big Ten play with a trip to Penn State to meet the Nittany Lions on Friday and Saturday. The Spartans bring a 3-game win streak into Friday's game at PSU and are receiving votes in this week's USCHO.com poll. How about that? All right, the Michigan State men's soccer team, they, of course, advanced to the third round of the NCAA tournament this past weekend with a win over Virginia Tech. That was a 3-0 victory, and they will now move on to host Western Michigan University at 6 p.m. come this Saturday at DeMartin Stadium. Good luck to Damon Rensing and his squad. For a long time, the Detroit Lions regularly embarrassed themselves on Thanksgiving Day. Their annual tradition showcased how downtrodden the franchise had become. But, tell you what, the Lions have been on the up and up, dating back to the start of the Jim Caldwell era, to be honest with you. And they have a chance to possibly knock off the streaking Minnesota Vikings, who lead the NFC North. That game will take place tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. I believe that's going to be a 12:30 p.m. kickoff, if I'm correct, Isaac. 12:30 p.m.?
Think so, yeah.
The Lions tomorrow. So we'll be previewing that matchup in just a moment. Also, have to acknowledge our three local teams that will be competing for a state championship this weekend down at Ford Field. In the D6 state championship game, we've got two of our local teams actually going at it against each other. Ithaca at 13-0 will face Jackson Lumen Christie at 11-1. Kick time set for 4:30 p.m. on Friday, Ford Field. The first meeting between these two schools. And in the Division 7 state championship game, how about the Pauma-Westphalia Pirates at 11-1, the defending division champs? They will face Saugatuck who are 9-3 on the year, at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Ford Field. The Pirates now head to the finals for a third consecutive time. So, with Ithaca playing Jackson Lumen Christie, we can rest assured that at least one of our local teams will win a state championship, and good luck to them all. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep this train of pushing.
Conference, it had three teams in the top 10 for the majority of the year, on and off. And I think that's a power conference. So you want somebody represented from this conference. You want somebody represented from down south or from the East Coast or from the West or from the far West. But, and there's five different areas, but you want people representing every area because it's new. You know, what's the point if you have two teams from the same conference in who've already played themselves in the playoff? What's the point? That would just be me. Of course, that will raise a lot of speculation out there. That'll probably get the biggest. That may be the biggest news coming out of here. But that's just me. That's just a guy sitting here. I think Big Ten Conference, though, you're going to play against great teams, great coaches, great environments, great fan support every single week. And there are teams in this conference that can play across the country with anybody. That's been proven.
Ah, yes, that is how we start this Wednesday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thanksgiving Eve. A little Heavy D and the Boys, one of my favorite hip-hop groups of all time. Isaac, you're a young pup. I am too, but you know, I got an old soul, dude, especially when it comes to hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
Please tell me you know who Heavy D and the Boys are. Come on, dude.
I could not list a specific track. I've only heard the name to you.
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
that's your Thanksgiving homework. If I had to give you some homework over the weekend, listen to some Heavy D and the Boys, dude. They are one of my favorite groups, man. But intermixed with Heavy D and the Boys, you heard the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, really vie for the Big Ten Conference, saying that, hey, when it's all said and done, I believe that there needs to at least be one team represented in the college football playoff from the Big Ten Conference. And I must agree with him now when looking at how things have panned out and the messages that the college football playoff committee is trying to send. But and especially when you look at how things are panning out right now, it looks like, you know, out of every Big Ten team, it looks like Wisconsin has the best shot of making that goal come true. If they end up beating Michigan this weekend, you know, they're already going to play in Indy for the Big Ten Championship. And if they beat Ohio State, Wisconsin's going to get in. Now, I've been saying all year Wisconsin hasn't played anybody. They've had a really soft schedule. But what the message the committee is trying to send here, especially when you look at the latest batch of rankings, they're sitting right on the outside looking in. Really right on the outside looking in here. They sit at number five. This is how things panned out last night when it comes to the latest batch of rankings for the college football playoff. Alabama, numero uno. Number two, the University of Miami. Number three, Clemson University. Four, the University of Oklahoma. Those, if the playoff was to start right now, those would be your four in. Now, this is how everything else pans out. At five, as I mentioned, Wisconsin. Six, Auburn. Seven, the University of Georgia. Eight, Notre Dame. Nine, Ohio State University. 10, Penn State University. And when it comes to your Michigan State Spartans, they actually improved a slot, moving to number 16. But right now, Isaac, I just want to ask you the question. Do you think a Big Ten team is going to get in? And will that – two questions. Will a Big Ten team get in, and will that team be Wisconsin?
Well, I see the only chance being Wisconsin right now. And again, Ohio State, if Nirvana happened, everything goes right. Literally every single game would have to go in their favor now. Mm-hmm. They would have the most outside of chances. But with how it's shaping up right now, you look at them putting Clemson at number three. Again – that could be very insignificant because right. Clemson and Miami face each other. Whoever wins that game is guaranteed a spot in the playoff.
And by the way, I like how they put Miami at number two this time.
And I agree with that, too. I thought they should have moved up a slot, which they did.
What you're saying, though, Isaac, so you don't think that they'll put in Ohio State?
No, most likely
Ohio State
not.
Ends up, and I believe that Wisconsin is going to get beat by Ohio State.
Yes, I think we all do. Yeah.
I think the only way that Ohio State gets in is if they just convincingly trounce on the Michigan Wolverines come this weekend and then blow out Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship.
Well, and Auburn would have to lose too to Alabama. Plus, Georgia has to go down in the SEC championship. I mean, just everything has to happen in their favor. Wisconsin's got a legit chance, though. But the reason I say it's significant that Clemson was bumped down to number three is that if they lose, they only have to slide two slots, and then Wisconsin moves up to that number four slot, filling out the college football playoff. I'm not positive that would happen, but Clemson with two losses, I might take Wisconsin, because part of the reason I liked having the college football playoff in the first place was even if you play a weak schedule. Again, you should not be rewarded for it, but you've got that X factor, you've got that unpredictability, and the committee seems to like that.
Yeah, again, there's so many scenarios that could happen between now and the time that we have the final rankings for the college football playoff at the very beginning of December. But you know, there were a few other things. There are a lot of intriguing storylines coming out of the world of college football right now. You know, first off, when looking at, not just looking at the top four here, but I'm looking at the entire thing. You know, I mentioned how Michigan State moved up one slot, Isaac. I'm puzzled as to why UCF has not moved up. I mean, they're undefeated. Right now, statistically, they've actually have the best offense in the country. Now, again, I think that's, you know, when you look at the eye test, Oklahoma still is that team with Baker Mayfield. But right now, UCF on both sides of the football looks so good. They're undefeated. I was surprised that they did not move up, let alone have Mississippi State move ahead of them. A Mississippi State team that didn't look really great against Arkansas, a bad Arkansas team at that. And then you have all of these coach questions. There's a lot of coach questions when it comes to college football right now. You know, you look at Scott Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Will Scott Frost stay? That's a big question on the minds of many right now. I mean, you know, looking at, you know, what he's done at the University of Central Florida. You know, he was a previous offensive coordinator at the University of Oregon. You know, there's a lot of chatter around him. A lot of people are saying possibly Nebraska because he played at Nebraska. I've seen Arkansas, that's a team that's been thrown out there that's interested possibly in Scott Frost. Florida, UCLA, you know, Scott does love living in Orlando, though. I must say that, yeah, you know, and they may up his salary where he is right now. So that's a possibility. How about, you know, Sumlin at Texas A&M? Will he be out? That's another question mark. Florida State with Jimbo Fisher. Chip Kelly, he's in headlines left and right today. Kelly, he actually talked with Florida and is reportedly interested in the job at UCLA. Tennessee, you know, Brady Hoke right now. It's so interesting because Brady Hoke, former U of M head coach, he right now is the head coach. He's the interim head coach at Tennessee right now, Isaac. And when evaluating the coaching search for Tennessee, I think it's being really cut and clear out there that Brady Hoke is not a candidate. Okay, I think they're sending that message out there already. But Brady Hoke is actually he's interested in a job in the NFL right now. So we'll see what happens with that situation. Mississippi State coach Dan Mullen, you know, and I know Dan pretty well because he was actually the head coach at Mississippi State when Dak Prescott was coming through. Dan Mullen is very well liked. He's got a great personality, and he's known to be a quarterback guru. Will he stay at Mississippi State? You look at OSU defensive coordinator Greg Schiano. He's also a candidate possibly for the Tennessee job. And John Gruden, ESPN analyst for Monday Night Football. John Gruden, it looks like he's sending like just signals out there that he wants a coaching job somewhere. But he reportedly has met with Tennessee AD John Curry. So there's a lot of movement happening here. And when it comes to head coaching jobs and possibilities in that realm. So we'll see. And, you know, timing is everything. And I couldn't help but, you know, when doing some reading this morning, I couldn't help but think about P.J. Fleck. You know, P.J. Fleck, head coach at Minnesota right now. Just imagine if P.J. Fleck would have just waited one more year. He could have had a sexier job, I believe, Isaac, than Minnesota, to be honest
easily,
with you.
Easily.
Right? Easily, right? My goodness, if you just hold on, you know, sometimes it's all about patience. Patience is a virtue. That's what my grandma says all the time. Baby, patience is a virtue. She says that all the time. And if P.J. Fleck would just wait one more year, my goodness. Now, you know, you look at going back to just briefly, Isaac, Wisconsin. And Wisconsin has a chance for the first perfect season in program history. As I stated, I don't think that they are going to accomplish that goal because I think Ohio State right now is playing so well. I don't see Wisconsin beating Ohio State come the Big Ten championship game. However, Wisconsin has a few things going for them when you look at the offense. Jonathan Taylor is playing out of his mind. Alex Hornibrook was so good against Michigan this past weekend. He had multiple NFL-type throws. He's playing great. And not to mention, I mean, Alex Hornibrook, he's been pretty solid all year. He overcame, actually, probably the most impressive game to me is when he overcame two pick sixes to beat Iowa. Urban Meyer for Ohio State. I can't wait to watch the Ohio State and Michigan game because they're big rivals. You know, whether Spartan fans like to admit that or not, this is a big Michigan and Ohio State is a bigger rivalry for U of M than Michigan and Michigan State. It's just how it is, Isaac. I'm sorry. It's just how it is. Urban Meyer, you know, I was reading an article this morning, Isaac. He loves rivalry week. Dating back to when he was the head coach of the Florida college football team. So much so that he would do these little antics to get his players riled up and ready. Urban Meyer already said that the prep for Michigan began weeks ago. They've been prepping for this game weeks ago, according to him. And get this, while at Florida, in this piece, it talks about how Meyer at Florida would have logos of the opposition in the urinal.
So I've heard that before. Yeah.
So every time they go to the bathroom to do what they got to do, they see the logo of their opposition. And he would throughout the locker room, Urban Meyer would like plaster, you know, go whoever that team is. And all this memorabilia, you know, rooting for the opposition just to tick off his players. I'm just curious to know what the Ohio State Buckeyes locker room looks like right now. It's probably a lot of maize and blue in there, right?
Oh, yeah. And they're furious right now. We saw, like I said, going into that MSU game, the question was, are they resigned because they're probably out of the playoff?
Right.
Or are they ticked off? Are they angry at themselves, at the college football world, at everything? And we saw the answer resoundingly. Ever since that second loss, Ohio State ran out of the gates with their hair on fire every single game. And JT Barrett is totally recovered, as you'd expect him to. Mm-hmm. So, no, going into this one, this is make or break for their season entirely, because not only does this give them a chance at something greater, but it's also Michigan. You don't need any more hype up than that. It's Michigan versus Ohio State. I can't wait to watch it.
Can't wait to watch it. And again, I do believe that Ohio State, there's a slim chance for Ohio State here. Again, if Ohio State...
You laughed at me when I said that earlier.
I did.
It's worth pointing out.
I did. Yep. That's college football, man. Week to week, you just never know. I think there's a slim chance. If you're going to throw on Wisconsin, my goodness, you got to look at Ohio State. And when Ohio State is humming, they can beat anybody in the country. I don't care who they're playing. And that includes Alabama. Now, Alabama versus Auburn, that's going to be interesting this weekend. The Iron Bowl. Jalen Hurts, I believe he's the best... statistically, he's the best scrambling quarterback in the country in terms of positive yards. He has become a smart runner, a great passing QB as well. Alabama, though, is beaten up, especially when it comes to that linebacker core. And I think that makes them vulnerable in this game against an Auburn team that is trending upward. Auburn, I think they're going to get hit in the mouth up front, but they're going to be hanging around this entire game. That's going to be very intriguing, and that could have implications for another team to possibly slide in to that top four. We'll see what happens, though. But if Auburn wins out, they are in the playoff. I believe the winner of the Iron Bowl is in the playoff. Bama's only loss would be to Auburn. If it's a close game, I don't know how you don't put Alabama in there, Isaac.
Agreed.
I really don't.
Yeah,
I don't know how you don't do that. What if Georgia beats Auburn, though? You know, in the SEC. You see all these scenarios play out? What if Georgia beats Auburn in the SEC championship game? You know, I do believe, though, the winner of the Iron Bowl is in the playoff regardless. But it can get very interesting here, and I think this is going to be a very tough year for the committee. Also, I saw that Baker Mayfield is not a captain and is not starting for Oklahoma come this weekend, where Oklahoma will play West Virginia. How long will he be out? Is it one series? Will it be two series? You know, and Oklahoma's defense hasn't played great all year, so I foresee Baker Mayfield sitting out one series. Now, and to Baker's defense for a second. First of all, I like Baker Mayfield. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's got that edge. He talks trash. I love that. I love athletes like that.
Of course.
Right? He's an old school athlete.
And Kansas ticked him off.
They did.
Fairness.
I mean, he tried to shake.
They riled him up.
He tried to shake the hands of the Kansas teammates before kickoff, and they just basically said, "Nah, dude, we're trying to kick your butt in this game, okay?" But there's a fine line. What he did on the sideline, where he grabbed his crotch and then looked at the opposition on the other side of the field, and he said,
some words.
Yeah, he said some words we can't say here on WKAR. Thank you, Isaiah, for the censorship, right? There's a fine line, and he deserves to sit out. He is a kid that cares. You know, young kids make mistakes. You know what I mean? And I do believe he was genuine in his apology. He choked up multiple times. So I predict the Baker will probably just sit out one series here, Isaac, if I had to give a prediction on that.
I think so, too. The last thing to watch with Oklahoma, though, not even this upcoming week, they're playing West Virginia, but the week after, is the restoration this year of the Big 12 championship game. So that makes things all the more interesting. I believe this is the first time that they'll host that since 2010. So, again, just another game that could throw a monkey wrench into the playoff scene.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I believe, do we have two guests? Is Matthew here as well? Matthew Abdullah is in the house. We've got Michael Lynn III in the house. These are two young men that have decided to transfer from Lansing Catholic High School, now former players of the Lansing Catholic football team. We'll talk about the reason they decided to transfer and a situation that occurred earlier this season with the Cougars when they decided to kneel during the national anthem. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to get to our two guests for today's Current Sports. You know, we've been following this story for a while now, actually dating back to the beginning of October of the local high school football season, in which four Lansing Catholic football players decided to kneel during the national anthem. And this was right before the homecoming game in which Lansing Catholic played Ionia. Our cameras were in the house. I attended that game and I saw the moment. And, you know, when it comes to the reaction of that moment here locally, many of you had thoughts on it. We had a few callers that called in. We had multiple comments on our social media pages. And as I stated at the top of the hour, this was the first time that we've really seen here in mid-Michigan, the story that Colin Kaepernick actually started when he decided to kneel during the national anthem to raise awareness when it comes to racial inequality here in America, when it comes to police brutality here in America. This is the first time we've seen that story have a trickle-down effect to this area here in mid-Michigan. And right now, we have two of those four Lansing Catholic football players who decided to kneel. And these two young men have actually decided, they're both seniors, they've actually decided to transfer from Lansing Catholic High School to Lansing, Sexton, and Holt High Schools. Michael Lynn III will be transferring to Lansing Sexton, and Matthew Abdullah will be transferring to Holt High School. So they're live. Both of them are live in Studio S right now. You guys can see them via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports as we have the live stream up and running. First off, Mike and Matthew, thanks so much for joining us here on Current Sports. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Great to have you guys in, and I really appreciate you all coming in to talk about this topic and your both of your decisions to transfer. So first, I want to start by just throwing a question out there. You know, when this decision made by you two, along with your two other teammates who stood alongside you both to kneel during the national anthem during that home before that homecoming game against Ionia, how did that decision come about for you guys? Whose idea was it, and what was the conversation like amongst you guys?
So originally I had told my parents first, and I didn't tell anybody else. But then I told Matthew and Kabosh, and this was the week before the Ionia game. So this was the Monday before we played Fowlerville.
Right.
And I told my parents I'm going to kneel Friday. And we talked about it at home and stuff. And I hadn't told any of my friends because I didn't, you know, I'd gone through and kind of figured out what I was going to say and what I was doing this for and the things that could happen, like the ramifications that could happen, because you won't always know the worst, you know, outcome that can come from it. And then, you know, when we played against Fowlerville, me and Matthew were the only two that were going to do it at that point.
Right.
You know, a couple of kids said they were, but then when they found out, you know, we were going to get in trouble for it or something, we didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew there was going to be trouble. They backed out. So me and Matthew were getting stretched out by the trainers, and, you know, we're talking to each other like, so are we doing this? Are we doing it? And we both said yes. And then that's when the AD came and asked me, he's like, you know, for security concerns, can we just ask you, like, not to do it today? You know, we can do it next week. We'll set it up. We can do it next week. We can have all this, you know, a prayer. We can have a statement written and stuff like that. So I'm like, you know, I kind of sprung it on them. I didn't want to put my team in danger out in Fowlerville. Mm-hmm. In the middle of their homecoming out there, I didn't want to put them in danger because if some fan decided he wanted to hurt us because he was, you know, peeved off about us doing that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that to affect my teammates that weren't, you know, staying with us. So
right.
That's basically how that came up.
So, Mike, it was your idea.
Yeah.
Matthew, when Mike told you about this idea, what was your first reaction?
I supported it. I was all for it. I wanted to join in with him. We didn't know there was going to be consequences yet, but the school at first had supported us, so we thought we were good with it. And I was just happy. I told my mom, she was like, I'll support you with that, whichever you choose, and mm-hmm. that I was happy with that.
So, Mike, you postponed it. You mm-hmm. said you didn't want to put your team in danger out in Fowlerville.
Yeah.
The decision to do it before the homecoming game against Ionia, why did you guys choose that date, and how did you coordinate this along with the administration at Lansing Catholic?
Well, I wouldn't say we chose for it to be then. We okay. wanted it as soon as possible and without any danger. So we are at home, so we don't have the danger coming. That when I say danger, because, you know, I don't want to say that that would happen, you know, whether we're at Fowlerville. I don't know if that would happen. We just wanted to make sure it wouldn't.
Right.
So, like, we didn't actually, it wasn't a plan. He just said, you know, can you not do it now? So we wanted it as soon as possible. We spoke to administration the Monday after the Fowlerville game, so Ionia week. Mm-hmm. We spoke to the administration. I had a quick conversation. I wouldn't say quick. We had like a 45-minute talk, actually. Mm-hmm. It was Mr. Moore. It was our AD, Mr. Wolcott, and then my coach came in.
And who was Mr. Moore?
He's the principal.
He's the principal.
Yep.
The athletic director at Lansing Catholic as well. And,
yep.
and who else?
And then our head coach.
Head coach Jim
yep.
Ahern was
yep.
there. Okay.
So we talked about it, and I had already laid it out for Mr. Wolcott the week before that. So he kind of knew what I was already saying and why I wanted to do it, but my coach didn't. So we talked to them for about 45 minutes, and we came to the conclusion that, you know, we'll have a team meeting because Monday is our film day. So we'd have a team meeting, and we'd figure out, you know, if we want everyone to kneel. I personally didn't want that. I didn't want to make people do something they weren't comfortable with.
Of course.
So we have the team meeting. Even when we're talking in the meeting, and then You know, I lay out, basically I talked for like 30 minutes about why I felt I needed to do this, why I needed to do it. And the AD asked my coach, you know, is there anything you want to say? And I was kind of shocked at his response. So he tells me, and he sits there for a minute, and then he tells me, I just hope we're ready for Friday. And I kind of sat there, and I'm like, what? And he was like, I just, you know, I don't want us to be distracted. This is a good football team we're playing.
And the AD said this?
No, Coach Ahern.
Coach Jim Ahern said this. Okay.
So he sat there the whole conversation, didn't really say anything. I'm thinking maybe, you know, he's trying to take it all in, but, you know, obviously that was wrong when he said, I just hope we're not distracted for Friday. And I'm just sitting there like, and I asked him, I said, is that all you have to say? And he said, you know, I just hope, you know, we're not distracted. You know, we got to win this game. And that's when our AD kind of interjected and said, now I know I know what you're thinking, Michael, but he's not very, he doesn't use his words that well or something like that. And I'm like, I just laid out this entire, what I've been going through. When I say I talked for 30 straight minutes, I told them the things I've gone through growing up and why I felt like I needed to do this. And then he comes back and tells me, I just hope we're ready for Friday. And it kind of hit me like, either you don't understand or you don't want to understand what I'm telling you right now.
So you felt Jim Ahern, head coach at Lansing Catholic, the Lansing Catholic football team, you felt like he was just not sympathetic to what you were trying to, the point you were trying to
make. The focus of that conversation, the focus of this, like I've been saying, was deeper than football. So for him to say, you know, I just hope we're not distracted for Friday, it hurt. Like,
right. Matthew, the reaction to your other teammates when Mike went in front of you all and kind of laid out the reasoning behind why he wanted to do this. What was the reaction to the rest of the team?
Some of the team supported us, and then there were others that were just totally against it and wanted no part to do with it. And they didn't understand it at all. But there were some teammates that were like, yeah, we'll support you, but we just won't kneel. And at the end of the meeting, they just said, some will kneel, some will stand, but we'll all be united. But I didn't feel like that because there were others that just totally were against us doing what we thought was right.
Those who were totally against it, what was the reasoning they gave?
Their ancestors fought in the war for the freedom of our country. That's what they said. And mm-hmm. We weren't doing it to disrespect the flag. That was not our intention at all.
And I've been saying, this entire time, I feel like the message has been lost. Mm-hmm. Cap's message has been lost mm-hmm. because so many people are focusing on the anthem itself and the relation to, okay, you're disrespecting the flag and doing this. So when that's just missing the point of it. Moving on, though, Mike, after you guys knelt, and again, as I mentioned, our current sports cameras were there. I was there covering that game. And after that takes place, I know that there was a meeting that the school tried to organize in which members of the student body would meet something like twice a week to talk about race relations at the school. So I want you to elaborate on what took place during those meetings and what was the response of the student body as well. After that week, after homecoming week.
Oh, that's Matthew orchestrated that.
Okay, you orchestrated that.
Yeah,
Matthew. The two meetings?
Yes, me and Roger wanted a culture diversity club at the school, and we were helping start that with the help of one of our teachers, Miss Pike, and the club was set to just make it so people had a safe place to go and talk about what was going on in their life or at school and with, like, racial issues or even, like, cultural issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was – the first two meetings were good. I enjoyed them. I went to both of them. We had the option to go in the morning one before school or the one after school.
A lot of students showed up?
There was quite a few people in the morning and the afternoon. And then the next meetings we had more people even show up. And that really brightened my day. But we talked about, I'd missed that practice because of the meeting. Yeah. And my coach, I texted coach and told him I wasn't going to be at practice because the meeting was running late. And he's like, and then one of the other coaches asked me why I wasn't at practice because I told him I had a meeting that was important.
Mm-hmm.
That club was something that was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and I, to me, it was more important than football at the moment.
Definitely. Do you feel like progress was made?
Yes.
In what way?
'Cause now we have the club there. We have more people coming into it. And, like, there's, it's not just all, like, the minorities at the school. It's the everyone. Everyone's joining the club.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with now two former student-athletes at Lansing Catholic High School who have decided to transfer to Lansing Sexton and Holt High Schools. We have Michael Lynn III live here in Studio S along with Matthew Abdullah. The decision to transfer for you all, I want you both to kind of elaborate on that. Why did you both decide to transfer? And what do you hope Lansing Catholic High School, the student body and administrators alike, learn from the message you both were trying to send while they are students?
So originally, when I transferred from Sexton to Lansing Catholic, while I was at Sexton, we didn't feel that, you know, I was developing the way I should, you know, educationally. I've seen people, I have friends that have gone to Sexton and, you know, made it to college and stuff, but I wanted to make sure that I was going to be prepared. And my parents felt like I wasn't being prepared correctly. So, you know, there was two schools in mind. We had East Lansing and Lansing Catholic in mind. Both of them great schools, obviously. I went to a visit or a shadow day is what they call it at Lansing Catholic. And I loved it. You know, I loved the classes. I loved the teachers, everything about it. So, you know, at that moment, I decided I was going to Lansing Catholic.
Right.
Obviously, things changed throughout time, and I kind of, the veil was kind of unveiled, I guess. You know, what it actually was unveiled. And originally, what it was is not what it turned out to be for me.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, originally, I saw it, you know, I loved it. Everyone was super nice and stuff. I was, you know, the new kid and stuff like that, so everyone was super nice. But, I mean, even after that football season or even during my junior season, things weren't what I thought they were going to be. So I was in there and I was playing and I was going hard for my guys. And then I'd come back to a group chat and people are talking about, and mind you, this is all happening during, you know, Donald Trump's campaign. So, yeah. So I'm
a lot of racial tension, a lot of just.
So I'm coming back. Yeah. I'm coming back from, you know, games and I'm putting my heart out on the field, and I'm coming back from games, and in the group chat I'm seeing, you know, build the wall, make America great again. I'm half Mexican and half black, so and they know I'm in the group chat, so to have them saying that, and I ended up texting them saying, like, the stuff's not funny, just cut it out, you know, do it somewhere else, cut it out, this isn't the place for that. And, you know, we still got it. So when I decided to transfer out of Lansing Catholic and back to Sexton, you know, I feel like my ACT score jumped up 7 points, you know, at Lansing Catholic. So I feel like, you know, I was prepared for college like I needed to and like I wanted to. I played a great season. You know, coming into my senior season, there was thoughts about if I was going to leave, because when I was a student at Lansing Catholic, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, as a student, there was days where I didn't want to go to school. I was anxious.
As it pertains to the racial dynamic of the student body, is that what really... you really struggled with while at Lansing Catholic?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge culture shock going from Sexton. Right. I went to Holt earlier, then to Sexton, then to Lansing Catholic. So I dealt with problems at Holt, you know, racially, and I dealt with, you know, racism and passive racism and even aggressive racism. Then I went to Sexton, there was none. And then I get to Lansing Catholic, and I'm dealing with heavy aggressive racism. And it just kind of opened my eyes, like, you know, I thought that was just an isolated a couple of incidents at Holt, but it really isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, being at Lansing Catholic, I dealt with, like I said, passive and aggressive. Passive stuff, like little comments, but very up in my face, build the wall, make America great again, stuff like that. And I dealt with that. So when I, you know, decided to leave, I felt like I got, you know, I got the great education. You know, the teachers prepared me very well.
Right.
But as a student, I didn't feel good at Lansing Catholic, and I couldn't keep going there. You know, I didn't want to leave my team. So that's why when I said before the season, I was wondering if I wanted to transfer.
Right.
I couldn't. I didn't want to leave my team.
Exactly.
Because they'd done a lot for me. I'd done a lot for them. But after the football season, you know, I wasn't playing football. I was just a student. I couldn't be a student there. I didn't feel good as a student. I didn't feel good walking through the halls. Like I said, I'd sit and I'd be anxious. I'd sit in the parking lot and not know if I wanted to walk into the school. And,
right.
And when I say anxious, it not only made me anxious, but it made me like sad. It made me, you know, it just
a lot of emotions, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Mike. And for you, Matt, do you echo those same sentiments from what Mike just had to say concerning his experience at Lansing Catholic High School?
Yeah, mostly. When I was there, I was just miserable. I didn't enjoy going to school at all, or like enjoy like seeing some of the people there. Like last year, a lot where people come to school with like "Make America Great" hats on or Donald Trump shirts, and like a bunch of stuff like that. And it was just uncomfortable. I didn't feel safe. And it was just, this year was just bad. With the us kneeling and the backlash that we got from that, and people at the school were just vocal about it. And it just, I didn't like it. And it was just making me just miserable.
When it comes to your other two teammates who decided to join you both in trying to enlighten, you know, what was going on at Lansing, what is going on at Lansing Catholic High School. What's the conversation like that you had with those two teammates, and do they plan on staying at Lansing Catholic or transferring out as well?
I know Rose's staying there. I know Kabash. So I know both of them are staying there. Kabash is a junior, so he's going to be there for the next year.
Right.
And people have asked me, like, do I feel like we left them? And it's not, I mean, we didn't move out of state or anything. We're still talking to them. We're still here. We're still dealing with them. And Kabash, even then, it has a whole nother year there. So I'm more focused on preparing him, because we're not going to be there. Us three, me, Matthew, and Rose aren't going to be there. But I want him to still feel that he has us and he's still secure. And hopefully, you know, kids in the diversity club, in the culture club, step up and are also with Kabash, because you know, it puts a lot of pressure on a young 15, 16-year-old to be in all of this, and then we leave, whether we transfer or whether we leave just because we're graduating. So, I mean, my main focus is just making sure he knows he's going to be all right.
Definitely. Roger Williams and Kabash Richards, the other two student-athletes who join Matthew and Mike kneeling before the national anthem. I want to commend you both, because it takes a lot of courage in order to take a stand like that when not everybody's in your corner. And speaking of people being in your corner, is there anybody that you guys want to highlight in this whole thing that had your backs from the administration, maybe, at Lansing Catholic High School?
Yeah, Miss Pike, for sure.
Yeah.
She was my poetry teacher, and she was my speech teacher at Lansing Catholic. And, I mean, that woman, I love her so much. And, you know, I could say a couple of names, but for someone to put that much time and effort into us, even if I can't say she was for or opposed, because she never told me. She just talked to me, you know, objectively. And that really took a lot for her. And I'm getting kind of like, because I love that woman. And she put a lot of effort into us. So I want to thank her.
All right. I really hope she's listening right now. And also for you, Matthew, anybody you want to give a shout out
to? Yeah, definitely Miss Pike. She's leading the diversity club right now at Lansing Catholic.
That's great.
And she's just supported us and helped us feel safe and just talked to us and helped us through this problem. And that's one of the main reasons I stayed there as long as I did.
Wow, the courage that you young men have shown today is truly admirable. And I want to thank you both for coming on today's Current Sports. We're short on time here, and I do want to get to our Thanksgiving segment to close out the show. Real briefly, guys, to lighten the mood a bit here. It's a little bit tense here in Studio S. What's your favorite thing about Thanksgiving that you like, favorite dish that you like, man?
See, it's not even about the food. I just love being with my family.
That's great.
I have a huge family, so all my cousins and stuff, all my aunts, they just come down, and that's my favorite, being around my people. I love it.
What about you, Matt? Got a favorite food?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say mashed potatoes and gravy.
Preach on, brother.
Best part.
The best part of Thanksgiving is the mashed potatoes. All right, well, we've had Matthew Abdullah as well as Michael Lynn III live here in Studio West to join us. Fellas, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, sir, happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
You got to do that again. All right, well, until our final break, when we come back, we will put a wrap on today's Current Sports with our annual Current Sports Thanksgiving segment. What are we the most thankful for in the world of sports? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thanksgiving Eve. Hard to believe that tomorrow is Turkey Day. And real briefly, Isaac, you know, that chat with Matthew Abdullah and Michael Lynn III was so good. I wanted to extend that a bit. Didn't really get a chance to dive into the Detroit Lions. And I must say, I don't really feel like talking about the Detroit Lions today. We've been previewing that game pretty much all week. But who are you going with on Thanksgiving Day real quick?
I'm taking the Lions. I like their chances.
Are you feeling okay today?
Feeling all right. Feeling all right.
I'm going with Minnesota, as I stated at the very beginning of the hour. All right. Well, we have 2 minutes left here in the show. We love to close out our Current Sports Thanksgiving Eve show with what we call our Current Sports, What We Are Thankful For. Hit that tune, Isaac. All right, yeah, of course, that tune comes from the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special. I love that. I watch it every year, Isaac. I'm a big Charlie Brown guy. But for me, it's just, you know, I'm going with my family, man. You know, I'm kind of going to steal Mike's, you know, what he's most thankful for Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for my family. My mom, I'm going to Miami to see my mother. She moved to Miami now, going on 2 years. She's been there, and I'm looking forward to seeing her and my stepdad and my step-unc and, you know, my little, you know, nieces and nephews out there, man. I can't wait. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm thankful for my family and also that the Pistons are relevant this season. I'm a big Pistons guy.
I'll follow in your stride. Exactly. I'm thankful for my family. You know, going back to New Orleans, it's a rare occasion, a lovely trip every single time. Thankful for my work family as well. WKR, who's been my work family for the last 3.5 years. That's been great. And then also food. Cannot wait. Sweet potatoes, melted butter, marshmallows, and then brown sugar on top. I cannot wait. As well as the New Orleans Saints, 8-2.
There we go. You got to bring some of that back, dude.
I'll try.
And bring that on the plane, all right? I want to try some of that. All right. Well, we really hope that you and yours have a great Thanksgiving. I guess go Lions, right? And go Cowboys. We'll see you next week, folks. Be easy, people.